Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Drunk Time AFL podcast for round 7, 2024. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is ecstatic that North Melbourne are set to come out of the doldrums. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. And yes, the wheel is about to turn. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And as a long-suffering Carlton supporter, I do feel for North Melbourne because when you're in those dark places and you don't know where your next win's going to come from and you just got a bunch of kids there and there's no good players coming through, you're just like, when is it ever going to change, Michael? Yep. And luckily, this week we've had the blueprint laid out. North Melbourne fans, get excited. It's about to turn. Get ready to join in the chorus.
Take the lid off.
Yeah, because, and you know what I love about this is it's not the people at North Melbourne who are doing the heavy lifting here. There's a Collingwood supporter who goes by the name of Eddie McDwyer.
Okay.
McGuire.
Rings a bell. Is he on a like part of a coterie group or something, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps, but he's a Collingwood supporter who just thought he'd stick his nose out go, hey, North, I've got an idea for you. This is the way back, and I'm fucking all in on it. And when you hear it, North Melbourne supporters, you just feel that tingle. You just be like, something special is a brewing.
Do not write off September yet, North Melbourne fans.
Yes, absolutely.
This could be the spring in your step that can take you from 0-0 to 2016-7. Is it 23 rounds now?
Yeah, absolutely. 24, I think.
Let's going to say you're going to win the next 20 in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm including the premiership on that one.
Yeah. Maybe cool your jets a little bit on how excited you should be. So, Eddie McGuire has come out and said, this is a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. He has said, because they're called North Melbourne, right? Because they're in the suburb of North Melbourne.
They are. They reside at Arden Street, to be exact.
But North Melbourne, for so long, since they ever come into the competition, they've been too narrow with the name North Melbourne. That's a suburb that's north of Melbourne. But they haven't looked at the greater northern part of Melbourne, which is where Eddie McGuire says, come in, swoop on all of the northern parts of Melbourne. So we're talking from Mickleham to Whittlesea, Kalkallo, Beveridge, Donnybrook, Wollert, South Morang, everywhere north of Melbourne, they claim as their own. And this is the bit that I love, Michael. And you just think, has this guy, he's uncapped.
We should actually try and track this guy down because he has some ideas and he seems to get to the media with these ideas.
Yeah.
And without pushback. The ideas are
well,
so
that's
good.
True.
The media doesn't push back at all. They go, these are brilliant ideas. We better put that in the highest selling newspaper in the country.
Yeah, and this is the way the North Melbourne are going to rebuild their list. And quickly, so McGuire's plan is to tap into the children of immigrants and their children's children. So basically, you know how every club has their NGA, their talent, kind of the way that they bring talent into.
Oh, yeah.
Into their lists, and they look after, you know, kids from, you know, that may not have ever played the game, say a Magic Door or someone like that. Well, McGuire has said that there's up to 500,000 people.
Half a million.
Yeah, up to 500,000 people that North Melbourne will now be able to tap into. So now when you go to the draft, North Melbourne, you won't be looking and going, oh, how are we going to get these 8 kids? You're going to be going, how can we whittle this down?
Yeah.
From 500,000. Now, that is a powerhouse of a team, Michael.
What's a regular AFL list now? Like about 48 or something like that?
Something you know, like that. I think when you've got your category B's and all that sort of
floats
stuff.
Floats around, rookies, all this kind of stuff. I actually feel sorry for the North Melbourne recruiting staff where they go, hey, can you go and check out 25,000 people on the weekend on a Saturday arvo? And then you go and check out 25,000 people on a Sunday arvo. Yeah. Luckily, it's just north of Melbourne. So they're not all over the shop. You don't have to drive 5 hours. you know, you're not driving a country vicar or anything, but you've got to go and watch at least 3 minutes of 35 games at 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
No, you're going to watch from like 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon when all these kids have played. But all you're going to do, mate, is just get on the fucking Calder or the Tuller and you hit the ring road and just fucking, you're just hanging around the ring road, mate. There's a road already built for you. It should be renamed the North Melbourne Recruiter Road.
And don't worry, if you don't get to go to those games, we will have 75,000 hours of tape waiting for you to come back to review on a Sunday night. And we want the report done by Monday morning, okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll get that done.
And here's the kicker, North Melbourne fans, and this is where you've got to be excited. You have this list built and should be ready to go by 2055. Get excited, North Melbourne fans! 2055, we're 31 years away from an absolute fucking dynasty!
I'm calling it already. North Melbourne are too powerful. They're too powerful, okay?
We need to split the team.
We need to at least get some kind of salary cap control. Now I know why the AFL is saying we're not doling out any more extra picks this year. By the fact they've looked into the globe and they've gone, fucking hell, 2055, North Melbourne. Yeah. We can't have a team win 15 premierships in a row.
Oh, my God. I feel for the Tassie Devils who have only come in on their third dynasty in 2055, and they've gone, well, now it's compromised. North Melbourne's got access to 500,000 people. How are we supposed to compete with that?
Like, actually, I heard North Melbourne's actually, the other clubs have changed their slogan to stop the boats because they don't want any more immigrants coming into the country.
That's fair enough, too. You'll see people at border security. There'll be recruiters out of Manus Island, Michael. They'll be on Nauru. They'll be on Norfolk. They'll be just, I mean, North Melbourne, it's just, it has gone too far. They've got too much now. And
we need to clamp it down. We need to clamp it down. It's plain and simple.
I don't think it's fair when these people are escaping from war-torn countries and as they get on a boat, they're handed a Luke Davies Uniacke number 9 jumper. I mean, you just see it too often. And North Melbourne are rorting the system.
Sure. They're handed a phone and on the phone is a welcome message from Malcolm Blight saying, glad you've been at the club. Oh, dude.
So that is pretty exciting. And the other thing that Eddie says, now that there's going to be over, 500,000 people out there, they can't, it's a fair way if you're living out that way. And, if you are in the north of Melbourne, it's not super close to the city. And the only two major grounds in Melbourne are the MCG and Marvel Stadium. And obviously, occasionally, they'll have to come in to win their flags. But Eddie was saying that there should be a ground out in the north of Melbourne. And he's saying that it should be. And I love this, right? He says, because the growth goes out past Sunbury. He says, you've got Melton, which is kind of northwest now, Eddie. But sure, we'll take that. Eddie said, I drove out near Calder Park the other week. The houses go out to the Thunderdome now. And I thought to myself, why doesn't the AFL buy the Thunderdome and turn that into a stadium?
Turn it into ground. I was wondering if you did have a stadium in mind, okay?
Yeah, he does.
Because, I mean, for years we've been talking about a boutique stadium, haven't we, Carl?
They have.
And we've been talking about, I mean, I think the obvious.
Please, call me Adam.
What I call you, Carlton?
I don't know.
I think the obvious one would be Princess Park. That's already kind of halfway to a ground.
Yeah, but it's not going to cater to the 500,000 people that want to go to the footy, Mike.
Well, that's the thing. If we move Princess Park out to the Thunderdome, just on the back of a couple of trucks.
Yeah.
On a slow traffic day.
Yeah.
Thunderdome. So is that Calder Park?
It is Calder Park. That's where the Guns N' Roses concert was in 1991 or something like that. It's probably the thing that's most memorable for. But here's my suggestion. Now, obviously, Marvel Stadium, they've got their running track around it. I say we keep it as a drag racing track as well.
Oh, yeah.
So at halftime, instead of like you got your fucking bullshit activations, you've got your little NASCAR race for halftime.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that if they had like funny cars driving around doing drag racing down the middle of the ground.
They're funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a lot of fun. There was a dome, I think it was Essendon's original home ground, but I think that had a dome name to it or something. And I think it might have been almost like a horse racing track or... Probably not racing cars back in those days.
Yeah.
But it definitely had a multi-purpose feel to it.
Yeah. What I love too is that Eddie drove out near Calder Park the other week. Eddie was sitting in the back of a car and his driver went, oh, I think my cousins live out near here. And he goes, where are we? He goes, oh, it's out Calder Park. I've never heard of it.
I do wonder where Eddie was going. Because it's not, you can't cut through there to get to Sorrento, can you? Like, you're going further north.
Unless he's got like property up in, say, where we're going, Hepburn Springs, maybe Daylesford. Maybe he's heading for a relaxing retreat after he's come up. Like, these ideas, mate, they're taxing. So you need a retreat. You need a spa. You need a massage. You need some hot springs. What better way? Or maybe that's where he comes up with his ideas.
He does have a lot of ideas, but I'm also trying to think of how many of them actually got up. Because, he kind of usually comes up with, like, a final systems thing or, like, variations of gather round, that kind of stuff. I think he staked half a claim to this version of the final eight.
Is that right?
I think he does back in the day.
Yeah, okay. He saw the McIntyre system, said, I hate it. I hate whoever McIntyre is.
Yeah.
He said, get rid of him.
It's a good start with the Mac, but we've got to change the rest.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's proposed some kind of wild card kind of stuff over the years. But
yeah.
I don't know if his strike rate's particularly that great. But also, like, with this North thing, it's just like, well, just do better marketing. Do it North.
Yeah, I mean, I'm frightened. I mean, obviously, this podcast will still be going when we're well into our 80s, but I just look forward to the day that North Melbourne dominate the competition with their list of, and they'll cull it down from half a million. We're not idiots, but it'd be like 480,000 on the list.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and what a absolute honour it will be to be at the unveiling of the statue of 15-time premiership coach Alistair Clarkson at the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Adam, big week of football. The Baggers didn't quite get it done against the Cats. Now, you watching it yourself last night?
Yes. So we're recording this on the Sunday night. I just watched it at the local pub at the Empress Hotel in North Fitzroy. Mm-hmm. And it was a ripping game. Geelong, fucking hell, man. Can you take it easy? Do you have to be that good for that long? Like,
just
what
calm down. Yeah, just calm it down a little bit. Now, am I right? Danger's done a hammy.
Yes, he did do a hammy. Mate, he was absolutely on fire before he went down. But can I just say, as much as, because we love the umpires on this show and we're very, very...
Respectful
and supportive of what they do. Mm. But the umpiring in yesterday's game was so fucking atrocious.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to the point where I never blame umpires for a loss or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yesterday, it was so bad with the... the dropping the ball, where you just go, I want to smash something. And I asked the barman, I said, how hard do I have to go before I get evicted? And he's like...
He said, what are you planning?
Hey?
He said, what are you planning?
Well, I just thought, what do I need to do? Because, I'm a regular there. Everyone knows me.
Sure. You walk in. It reminds me of the time I went to Graceland and, you can't go to the second story.
No, I don't.
Oh, they've got there's a stairwell. You know the stairwell. You've seen pictures of that. And there's the doorway. And that's the second story because that's where Elvis died. Do people want to go and look at the toilet where he died? All that kind of stuff.
And so you can't go.
You can't go up there. So there's a few bedrooms and there's a dressing room and an office up there.
Yeah.
But it's sight unseen. But I remember saying to a bloke, one of the security guards at Graceland, I said, has anybody ever made a run for upstairs? And he's gone, he kind of had a look like, are you about to make a run for upstairs?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But he told me, he said he'd heard about it a couple of times. Some people have made a run for it, but the door would be locked. You'd have to kind of kick it in. But anyway, so it's what part of the game did you end up getting kicked out of the pub and banned?
Just before the end. So I've just got to look for another local around here, which is fine. I think it's good to spread your wings.
For sure. So let me think. At this stage, what's it looking? Cats, Giants, Swans, do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon they're the big three at the moment, aren't they? There's quite a few teams that have sort of dropped away. You would have thought Collingwood, you're just not sure where they are. Have you ever... So the Anzac Day, obviously, was a round we just went through.
Yep.
Essendon and Collingwood played in a draw. Have you been to a draw? I'm sure we've spoken about this on the potty.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a draw.
No, I reckon I would have been to a handful. The first time I remember was 85, Hawthorn North. And that was actually, I think it was the first match that Kennedy... Senior had coached against Hawthorn.
Okay.
I went to the drawn final in 94, Hawthorn and North, and that was decided with extra time.
Oh, yeah, that would have been and that was the first extra time. That was out at Waverley,
but
wasn't it?
I would have been to a handful. Yeah, I reckon I would have been to a handful.
And a few that have been involved Hawthorn, because I imagine when it's two teams you don't give a shit about, you're like, That's pretty funny.
Well, I did manage to watch most of the last quarter, and so I was a bit on the fence because I was like, yeah, do you go for Collingwood to win?
I know.
Do you go for,
I know. What a dirty day.
Yeah, do you go for Essendon to win? And then when it became apparent that it was going to be a draw, you were just like, oh, okay, I'll take that.
16 other teams were like, this is fucking great.
Yeah, I was like, okay, oh, cool. I mean, you know, Dusty Morse gave a great speech. Yep. They hand out a medal. Everyone goes, everyone goes marginally happy because, you know, at least he didn't lose. But then people start gabbing about extra time, start yapping about extra time. We've been doing this for 120 years, Adam, extra time. I think it was Brad Scott was saying, maybe the fans should make the decision, which I thought, is that some kind of gladiatorial kind of thing where they just turn to the fans when it's a draw and you give like a thumbs up or a thumbs down, like thumbs up, extra time, thumbs down, no extra time?
Well, you know what? Okay, so say it wasn't Collingwood and Essendon, who both would have liked the win. But if you're, say, North Melbourne and you manage to sneak a draw at the end of a game, and you put that to the fans, their fans would be like, no, 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 because we could lose that extra time.
Yeah.
We're happy with the draw.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So I heard Jura Waitley explain it on ACN. So it's for finals, it's 3 minutes each way with time on.
Yep.
And then if it's drawn after that, it's another 3 minutes each way, if I remember correctly. Because initially they were going to have the kind of golden point.
Yes, yes, which would have been horrific.
That would have been stupid, yeah. So if you don't know, after full time in the second half of that extra time, if it was still drawn, they would continue playing, not knowing when the siren was going to go, or not knowing that time is up even, actually only the TV audience would know. So and the team that would then kick the next score would win.
Oh, fuck, that would be horrific.
Imagine that, if you were a player and you kind of let a ball go through behind,
you rushed it.
Because you go, well, we get the ball and, you know, rebound, and then all of a sudden, ball goes through, rush behind,
hang on,
siren.
All right. So what you're saying is it could be a villain.
Oh, dude, I mean, yeah, people are trying to pinpoint Jamie Elliott to be the a villain for dropping that mark in the final few seconds.
Yeah, well, there's Kyle Langford who missed that kick. Mm. He's a villain as well. Yeah. They're all terrible players and they should know about it.
Can you imagine, though, if you did rush it behind in an extra time grand final with the system they were going to go with, that golden point kind of score. Mm. If you imagine if you rushed the behind, then the siren went and you just go, I have to leave the country. Yeah. I have to immediately just leave the country and I have to change my name. I have to go somewhere.
Witness protection.
I have to go somewhere where no one knows anything about football. And so I'll go to the Gold Coast. Oh, my God.
So Pendles got his 10,000th disposal on the weekend, or on Thursday as it was.
Now, is that the most ever? Did he already have the title for most ever?
Yeah, I think he already had the title and I think he took it to the... Which is interesting that... How many less games would he have played than Boomer Harvey? He's like 70 behind Boomer, 60 behind Boomer, something like that. So it just says that he's clearly played most of his time in the middle because I think second might be Robert Harvey.
I reckon that sounds pretty right.
With like 9,600. And I was actually surprised because when Carlton were their worst, I could have sworn I saw Levi Casbolt put it out on the full around 10 to 15,000 times.
Now, I was thinking about this before, actually, when a Swans player today was taking a kick out. But I'm correct that kickouts get counted as possessions as well, right?
Yes, they do, which Kane Corns has been big on because he doesn't think it should be a stat now. Because remember, you used to have a kick it to yourself.
Yeah. Now, am I right that you have to play on before you get the stat?
Well, basically stepping out of the square now is playing on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it used to be.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering. I imagine back in the day, if you kicked out, you didn't get the stat. But now if you at least walk out of the square, which I'm going to say they probably do for 95% of the kickouts.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're allowed to gain that extra,
so
it does
count as a thing.
Meters.
Yeah, sure. So if you kind of go like, you know, I'm feeling a bit out of form, might just bump up my numbers a little bit. Yeah, cool. I'll just take the kick out, guys. Yeah, just, you know.
What Kane Corns is saying that is you might have, you know, you have your kick-out experts. They say Tom Stewart will rapidly chase down Scott Pendlebury because he takes the kick-outs for Geelong.
Yeah, sure.
They're a bunch of cheats.
And then probably maybe even actually if you do a short kick-out, you're probably not a bad chance to get in a quick one too as well.
Oh yeah, always the one too. I mean, you're just building your numbers. I think Scott Penn will be run down in probably weeks, and it's actually not that good a stat.
Just looking at Pendle's here, this is Wikipedia, so I don't know if they've updated his Wikipedia since Anzac Day, but he's on 390 games.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. Another person to get to 400.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Maybe this year.
You wouldn't have thought
someone rocking up with dreads like that back in the day would be playing 400.
No, you would have hoped that someone rocking up with dreads would just never get to that level.
I went to the Hawthorn game. Oh, sheesh, that was tough. That was hard work.
You know, there's some days where you go to the footy and you're like this team owes me. Like, that has absolutely just a complete and utter waste of time. You know when you're done at quarter time?
Yeah. No, it was, I was kind of annoyed. Like, I had to kind of rush out from work and kind of get there and borrowed a shirt from the wardrobe department in the building that I'm working at, and then I bloody poured sauce down it. And
Jesus.
Oh, God, I'm recording. But then, and you kind of get half time, and you're just like, you know, I got it. Actually, I tell you what was cool. They had Buddy out there.
Oh, yeah. What was the reason for Buddy to come back?
Well, I think it was Hawthorn, Sydney.
Okay,
probably first one. Yeah, first one since he retired. So I imagine it was on Fox Footy, but he did a bit of a chat with Jordan Lewis. But there were a bunch of kids. There was Jordans, there was Ruffies, there was Buddies.
And you know what I reckon, though? I reckon it would have been Buddy's idea. He would have been like, hey, guys, I just want to give back to the game that gave so much to me. And I just love doing this kind of shit. I'll fly the whole family down for nothing. I'll pay for it. And I'll come out and I'll let one of my old teammates do it, because I was going to let anyone do it. But if Geordie wants to do it, I'll let him interview.
Well, he went down to Waverley yesterday for a bit of to watch training. And I mean, I actually don't know. I'd be surprised if he actually had gone back to Waverley since leaving Hawthorn.
Yeah, I can't imagine he would have.
Because I think they still have Buddy's memorabilia in the bin out the front. But at the moment he signed with the Swans. And then he did a bit of a quarter lap, just kind of gave a wave. Crowd was very responsive. And then it's funny that, because I was saying to a friend, I was like, when you're talking about that, you know, doing it for free. Yeah. I was amazed they got him for that Kia ad.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised that he did that.
I was like, geez, you got it. Yeah. They got Buddy. Gee, they busted out the checkbook. And then my friend was like, yeah, but he, you know, he made like about $1 million last year. Well, I probably didn't make $1 million. In his final year of his contract, the big one, I think he was making 900, $1 million or something. And he's like, you got to replace that somehow. Although that is a cool ad. Have we talked about the Kia ad?
No, I haven't. We haven't actually. No.
I dug it a lot. I liked it a lot.
So if you haven't seen it, basically it's saying that Kia are bringing out a ute. And then it's all these sports stars in a bar saying it should be called, you know, Steve Waugh saying it should be called the Tugger, and Buddy says it should be called the Buddy. And yeah, it is actually quite a great ad.
Yeah, I'd actually be curious to see what the actual final amount was for how much they paid for all of those people.
And then they had Razor Ray in there saying it should be called the Low Dog Count, the Kia LDC.
There was someone I was surprised wasn't in that Kia ad, Adam. And having said that, he's an enigma. He doesn't like the camera.
Yeah.
Our friend of the show, Warwick Kappa. Mm. So he's popped up in the media again this week. I don't know how they got him. I don't know how they found him.
Do you reckon the Wiz genuinely looks at stuff like that and just gets like a little bit of a twitch? Be like, wasn't the Wiz in that?
Well, in theory, you could make the case that Wiz could be in the Kerry O'Keefe role.
Oh yeah. If he said, you know, the Kia Kappa, I mean, it's actually quite funny, and people,
yeah,
like, it's not the worst idea in the world, you know, because he's not the worst bloke. He's a simple man.
Yeah. No, I think he would fitted in perfectly in that ad.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's had a chat to the papers this week, and I reckon this is 100%. This is actually
on the money.
This is going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely
going to happen. So off the back of the David Beckham documentary, have you watched that on Netflix?
No, I haven't, but everyone said it was great.
I saw little bits and pieces, not the whole thing, but Warwick Kappa says he's eyeing a starring role on Netflix in the same vein as the David Beckham documentary. He's in talks to be part of a fly on the wall series on his colourful life, which will include AFL stardom and stints as a Gold Coast meter maid, porn star and barista.
Now, when they talk about stints as... So, porn star, he just said that he did the video, right, with the partner. And Gold Coast meter maid, like, was that... more than a photo? Like, did he actually
work the job
along? Like, imagine you've parked your car. All right, so imagine you're an international tourist who's bringing the family out here because you think maybe my kids one day can play for North, right? So you've hired a car, you pull up on Cavill Ave, you go to park the car, and this guy with fucking weird blonde hair just comes and goes, you want to pay me for you?
Well, you're burying the lead there. Like, the guy's probably about 6'4". Yeah. He's got a spray-on tan. He's got no shirt on, and he's wearing gold kind of sparkling... you know, short shorts. And he's got like a meter maid kind of sash over his bare chest. And he's knocking on the window. You've never been in the... The first thing that's happened to you since you've left the airport.
Yeah.
You're on Cavill Avenue.
Yeah.
That guy's tapping on your door and he goes, do you want to pay your meter maid? Hey. Let me reminisce about the 80s. So he reckons he's going to get to like a 5-part doco stuff. Also, the project will include his son, Indiana, who's a builder based in Queensland. Netflix, here we go. Netflix want to do a thing. How much of this is true? Netflix want to do a thing on my life. Okay, Netflix, one of the biggest.
They've rung him.
One of the biggest entertainment companies in the world.
Yeah. He picks up phone. They go, is that Warwick? He goes, it's a whiz.
Netflix.
They go, it's Netflix here.
Netflix want to do a thing on my life like they did on David Beckham.
Absolutely.
He got $40 million for that, but he's a poor man's Warwick Capa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we talked last year about the Wiz splurged and bought a brothel.
Now, this is news to me.
In the eastern parts of Melbourne, he brought a brothel, Westminster Secrets. And he said it was convenient because it actually was not too far from the house where he grew up.
His childhood home. And remember, if you can remember Junk Timers, when he bought Westminster Secrets out in Oakley, remember he went and visited the mayor and said, hey, I'm buying the brothel. And we were like, don't know if the mayor needs to know that, but all right.
But he was going to change things up. He was going to make a very an all-around entertainment package by the fact, I think once or twice a month, he said he was going to have a barbecue out the front. Could have a barbecue out the front for the clients and all the staff. Because, I mean, I think we might have commented at the time, who doesn't like to be confronted by a group of strangers or possible relatives when you're walking out, walking out of Westminster Secrets? But good news, he did sell it, but he broke about even.
Yeah, interesting.
So I don't know if that's a bit above or just a bit below. But from the stylish decorations that the Wiz had done to the interior, put his personal touch on it, I'd say it's a bit above.
Well, so we talked about this and I just had a quick look at it because I thought it's very quick that he's turned it around.
I think it'd be less than 6 months.
It was November last year, mid-November last year that he bought it. So that is an incredible turnaround. And I'm just going to say that something's gone wrong.
Doubter.
I know, I'm a cynic.
Doubting Thomas right there.
I know, I'm a
you
cynic.
You negative Nelly.
Maybe the sausage sizzle pushed a lot of people away when he was like, hey, guys, I've invited you personally. I dropped a flyer in your fucking letterbox saying, come back to Westminster Secrets, and none of you came.
No, it's like, because I mean, you know, you're probably there and like you're trying to leave quickly, and he's there going, Adam Rosenbarks, Adam Rosenbarks, come back here.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. We're going to see The Wiz on Netflix very shortly, and it's going to be bigger than David Beckham's.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Footballers in real life, Adam.
Hit me, man.
I got one.
What do you got?
Hawthorn Team of the Century member, Paul Salmon.
Oh, where at?
At the MCG. So I got out of the Uber. I wandered off doing very well. And round about Jollymont Station. So just not far over the road from the Pullman Hotel, roughly.
Yep.
And I went to walk over the walkway over the station, saw the fish coming my way. And I reckon the game was probably about 10 minutes in. So either the fish had seen enough.
Yep.
Or the fish had gone to some kind of function before and kind of was heading home.
Got his cashy.
Yeah, you know, dressed not formal, like in terms of like had to wear a suit or anything, but, you know, had a nice little jacket on and I think had the jeans on. Still looking
fine. Did you say g'day?
I actually, when I walked past him, I was like, I probably should have said g'day, but I probably would have said something like, you're leaving already, Paul.
Yeah. Right. Made him feel bad about it.
But he's still looking sharp, man. He's still looking sharp. He's in good shape, the fish. Got struck by lightning twice in one night, the fish.
He did indeed. Did indeed. Told that story in the front bar.
Footballers in real life are right here. From Georgie. Football in real life for you. My partner and I went to Angus Brayshaw's new wine bar in Richmond, as it's just around the corner, and my boyfriend is a huge Demons fan.
Right.
Gus was behind the bar, waiting on tables, very in touch with the common man, despite probably having a big payout in his future. He recommended a Beaujolais.
Well, Michael, look at you. Don't pretend you haven't had a couple of those in the MCC, Michael.
What's
Come
a Beaujolais?
On.
Is that a red or a white?
A red.
Oh, gotcha.
Pretending to be a common man.
I'm not really a red drinker. Well, like a light kind of red?
That I do not know.
Yeah. Beaujolais to me, and I can confirm that it was delicious.
There you go.
He gave a little fist pump when I told him. Huh, that's nice.
That's great.
I think my partner ordered about four drinks just so he could go up and stare dreamily at Brayshaw while pointedly not mentioning the D's so he could prove he wasn't like the other fans in the joint. All in the end, I do recommend Lenny's Wine Bar if you're in the area. It's a cute little spot.
All right, so Lenny's Wine Room, where are we at with that? I've not heard of that. I know a lot of people who live in Richmond, so I'm surprised it hasn't been mentioned to me.
I'm checking out Lenny's Wine Room's website right now. It is open as we speak, Adam. Oh, no, it shuts at 7 p.m. Lennox Street in Richmond, just a short stroll from Richmond Station.
So it must be kind of near the London.
I'll get on the gram if I can. So what kind of partnership do you reckon Angus has here? Like a bit of a part ownership? Is he going in the whole hog? Is it?
I mean, most times when players are involved with pubs and stuff, it's kind of like you put our name on it and I'll kind of come in here and pour a beer every now and again. But for someone his age who's probably into wine and just went, what else am I going to fucking do? You know, I had to retire because of that fucking knock to the head and the several ones.
It looks like we've got a bit of a bottle shop kind of thing going on. Like you can get wine there. Yep. Doesn't seem to be particularly old. In fact, the Felice sign was still up in March.
So it's brand new.
Yeah, they're brand new. They've done the interior. There's Instagram of them doing the interior. Look, what are you here? Oh, they do a bit of pizza. Here we go. And they've got some G-free options, I believe. I can't really get a menu or anything, but
no.
Looks delightful. And we will be looking forward to heading down to Lenny's Wine Room for a few freebies for the ad we've just given us.
So that's in Lennox Street, Richmond. Junk Timers, get down there, show support for Gus.
From Nick, on Wednesday evening, I was pretending to enjoy Richmond v Melbourne at the Rose Hotel.
Tough game, great pub.
When Lemo walked into the bar, friend of the show, rocking a three-quarter-length Adidas olive green jacket straight out of the Green Street hooligans. Suspecting Lemo Bain being the company of other committee greatness, I spied none other than Rosie.
Here we go.
Having a beer with Lemo and two other males I didn't recognise. Sadly, I didn't have time to take into account anything else about Rosie as it was time for us to head up Smith Street to another bar. Yeah. As we strolled up Smith Street, we saw a group of men and women dressed in formal attire who had clearly just left a function, an Anzac Day Eve function. As I walked past, I saw ex-Hawk Fergus Green saying to someone, "Do you know Isaac Quaynor?" I'm not saying I'm like him, but. Okay. Although I didn't hear the end of the sentence, I'm sure the person on the other end of the conversation confirmed they did, in fact, know Isaac, and, like the rest of us, regularly discuss their similarities.
Would you know Fergus Green if you spotted him?
No fucking way.
Yeah, okay.
I love hearing a bit of a conversation, but not the whole thing. I don't know if I've told this on the pod, because I don't know if we were even doing the pod back then. But I remember hearing Tom Elliott have half a conversation. This could be literally a decade ago. But when there was a bit of talk about him becoming president.
Yeah, there was chat.
And I was doing a gig, I think, in a bar in Fitzroy or something. And I overheard, I can't remember the words, but let's just say it was like, you know... It wasn't like, you know, the board has to go or something, but it was like if you knew that he was probably in the mix and you heard what he said, you'd go, that's a very interesting thing to hear. but you also couldn't just stop and stand behind him and listen. You had to keep walking.
Oh, that's fascinating. So I was at the Rose Hotel, fantastic pub, great footy viewing pub if you're in Melbourne, that's in Fitzroy. Mm. And I was there with Limo and a couple of mates after we'd been at the Anzac Day Eve game between Richmond and Melbourne, which was absolutely horrific. But can I just say, as a spectacle, I think Anzac Day Eve, when it's night, looks so much better than Anzac Day.
They do it pretty well, don't they?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing at the ground, and everyone's got the lights on their phone, and it just looks fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to presume you would, like, just in the outer, in the Shane Warne stand or something like that? Just on the
We're definitely in the Shane Warne stand, yep. So we just had to take a lift, and then we stepped out into the Shane Warne stand from the lift. So that's where that was.
We are going to hit the road. We are JunktimeHalfapod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawks.
Go the Roos.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.